No one would expect me to be bound by such an exchange of worthless trifles. It is you who were a trumpery thing, Penelope told her angrily. Not the rings, since it seems that your solemn promises mean nothing to you. Mary Germaine's laugh was an ugly one. Come, come, sister, you seem to be living in a dream. When Oliver and I were friends, you and I were but poor, dowerless, gentle women, the daughters of a nobody, and he was a good match for me then. Once our father had inherited a fortune and the great house in which we now live, and we became his heiresses, everything changed. It was immediately possible for us to make grand matches, go to court, and live a life free of the restrictions to which we had previously been condemned. As a consequence, I am well pleased that I am to marry a great man, and not a nobody like Oliver Woodville. She paused, before adding spitefully, You would do well to think of yourself, sister. Since no one will be minded to marry you for your looks, a quiet decorum added to your dowry would be a better mode of behaviour than running around busily trying to tell your elders and betters how to do their duty. Penelope flushed hotly. She had always known that Mary despised her for being more interested in book learning than in the give and take between the young men and women who lived on the edge of the Tudor court. But what? She asked. Will Oliver think, and how will he feel, when he comes home to find you married to another, and to a man old enough to be your father? Mary had a ready answer to that. She seemed to have an answer for everything. What he will think is no business of yours, or of his. Since he has probably spent his time enjoying himself with various ladies in France and Italy, he will probably not be surprised to learn that I have changed my mind. He will have to be content to marry a person of his own fortune and settle down in the country with her. You know, sister dear, since you were so troubled by my decision to show a little common sense by changing my mind about Oliver, why don't you marry him? Life in a quiet village would suit you both down to the ground, or to the earth, rather. Despite herself, Penelope's eyes filled with tears. She was wise enough not to believe that Mary cared for her deeply, but to learn that, to her sister, she was such an object of scorn and mockery, was almost more than she could bear. It was useless to try to appeal to her sense of honour, since it was plain that Mary had none. But Penelope remembered only too well that last day, 3 years ago, which Oliver had spent with them before he left for a tour of Europe in Harry Grantley's retinue. She was sure, by everything which he had said and done, that he expected Mary to wait for him. She remembered something else, though, something of which she had thought little at the time, since she had only been 14 to Mary's 18. He had wanted to speak to her father, to ask him that they should be formally betrothed before he left, but Mary had demurred. Time enough for that when you return, she had told him. Had she already learned that her father's cousin was gravely ill, and that when he died, they would no longer be poor and unconsidered? To accept Oliver Woodville's suit, when they were nobodies and he had a reasonable, if not large, inheritance was one thing, but to remain true to him, when fate had given her the opportunity to marry into a great family, was quite another. Nothing which she could say would change Mary's mind, so best, perhaps, to say nothing more. Poor Oliver. What an unpleasant surprise would be waiting for him when he returned home. Best not to think of that either. To hide her distress, Penelope paced slowly about the room, a room in which she could take no pleasure for all its beauty. Unlike Mary, she wished that she was back in the pretty, if small, manor house which had been their home until 2 years ago, their father's inheritance had changed their life. Mary's mind, though, was already running on other, more important things. Father wishes to speak to us about Queen Elizabeth's coronation, which will take place soon after her sister Mary's death, which should not now be long delayed. We are sure to be invited to the service at Westminster Abbey, since I am to marry Lord Castleford. It is most important that we both look our best. Mother is already ordering our clothes and arranging a trip to the jeweller's. She looked Penelope critically up and down. She will have a deal of trouble making you appear other than one of the crowd, which is too bad, but will have to be endured. What more she would have said to Penelope, to remind her of her lack of looks and presence, was cut short by a knock on the door and the entry of the Germaine steward John Brewster, carrying his new white wand of office. Ladies, he announced.